The views and opinions expressed by hosts, invited speakers, and callers do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the Black Talk Media Project or the Black Talk Radio Network.
This is the key.
Welcome everyone to Pando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. It's your boy David Rand, aka Dave from LA, and today is a Thursday, October the 8th, 2015. Just want to thank you all for tuning in to Pando Radio Show today. And of course, always continue to support Black Talk Radio Network. You know the importance of it. You need to continue to support it. Let your friends and family know. Make any monetary donation that you can to order to keep this network going, because it's one of the few and last that we have. And we can't complain about situations that we don't take care of ourselves. Don't look at, you know, so many people may look at, well, I can't be the only one. You have to look at yourself as being the only one, because a lot of times that's all the people that, I mean, that's all the support that's given is from individuals. So even if you don't think other people are going to, you need to do your part in treasuring what you have in order to keep it. So if you can, support the radio network, and also go to Pando Radio Show on Facebook. Check out our Facebook page, and we have a bunch of articles there that we've posted throughout the day. Check it out, what we put there. If you have any questions or comments, hit me there. And also you can hit us with a like when you get there. Now, tomorrow, we'll not be on the show tomorrow. Still in the process. The Fridays are very busy for me, and it's going to be busy for me for a little while. Just making some major adjustments here with the Ren Clan. And so tomorrow won't be on the air. Should be back Monday. We'll definitely let everyone know via Facebook beforehand, and I'll let you know, Scotty, but I do anticipate being back before Monday. So today's show. Today's show, oh, well, wait, before we jump into today's show, there's a couple of articles I really want to take a look at with you all that's on our Facebook fan page. Now, it's some very important ones. There is a story that is, hold on, of course my computer is. Wow, you know, I'm going to go through them all real quick. It's some crazy ones. You know, there's a priest that was being upheld by the royal family and by the government of England, and knew that he was a pedophile. And so check out that story. It's a Roman Catholic priest. You know, where have we seen this before? It's always been there. And it's something that, and we're going to talk about why some of these things are happening a little bit later on another show. But it says MP and royalties protect jailed sex abuser bishop, court hears. So was in court, and it came out that he had been protected by the royal family, Prince Charles. I mean, I hate even saying that with Prince. The dude ain't no prince. These people are demons. The dude Charles, is the son of the woman that they worship over there in England. Her son, they say that he was directly supporting him. This is not the first time that there's been accusations of that pedophilia going on within there. And I wouldn't be, you know, come on. Where there's smoke, there's fire. You know, it's there's more than credible. It has a history of that. And so, but the thing is that we can't, you know, we can't ignore it. But people choose to ignore it and choose to continue to worship man, because that's what they want you to do. That's why they brought you a religion, to worship man. Didn't bring you spirituality, brought you a religion, to worship man. Also, what we have also in Tando posted another good one, is the Trans-Pacific Partnership, a monster too big to fail. Man, check that article out, because we're going to have another show about that also, and what that means and the significance. What happened just this week on Monday, the Trans-Pacific Partnership out of Atlanta, the countries had agreed upon it, and this is, you know, we need to talk about that and what it means. What is exactly is the Trans-Pacific Partnership? What will it do to you? And what is it that they're trying to do? The usual suspects are always trying to garnish and gain more of your individual worship and support, and they want to completely enslave you. And this is what they're going to do, and they're going to do it through a personship. That's all this Trans-Pacific Partnership is about. It's a personship, because just because you have a person doesn't mean that you're a human being or a living spirit. And these corporations have a person, and this is what they want to control, so that you have no legal recourse against them, and there's so many other things that we will cover. But check that out just to familiarize yourself, so when we do have that show, if you have any questions or comments that you would like to make, do some of your own research. You know, that would make everything go a whole lot further along, because we'd love to hear from you on a lot of things. So that is a very, very important one. Next we have, inside of Tando, there was from Zig Brunensky, had admitted that the U.S. had been basically supporting ISIS, and it's a proxy organization put together by ISIS, and said that they should have take action against Russia because they're attacking their assets. Tell you everything. They tell you everything. And you need to realize who Zig Brunensky is and what his significance to everyone that is a so-called huge Obama supporter. You have no real clue at looking at who these people are and what they're all about. And his connection is long-standing connection in Washington, but not only to Washington, but your beloved president that has really duped everyone, you know, except the people that knew and saw this coming way before you even knew who this guy's name was. They do this purposely. So, and know the history of Zig Brunensky. I believe that he is one of the people that was talked about earlier in the week with the video we played for a nuclear device going off in, from the History Channel, nuclear device going off in Washington, D.C., when they admitted there's a shadow government. I firmly would believe that he is one of those figureheads that is very instrumental in that shadow government. So, also, another one. Another major article is Deutsche Bank braces for $7 billion loss. May scrap dividends. Listen, Deutsche Bank is in major financial trouble. Now, could Deutsche Bank go under? Very well, but if Deutsche Bank goes under, they're going to pull, Deutsche Bank, which is out of Germany, is going to pull many banks down with it. Many banks down with it. Citibank, Barclays, and only knows how many other are all tied into it because of the derivatives. And I believe that this is going to be a start of something very huge within the banking realm and in the overall global currency realm. So it's a real good, important article that you want to read. Also, everyone, remember these. When these banks go down, they're not going to go out of business. But what they're going to do is they're going to say that they have they're going to establish legal recourse, and they're going to establish where they have an excuse as to why they stole everything from you, from your bank account, from your 401ks, from your savings, from everything that you thought. The currencies that you have, the paper currencies that you have, you're going to be surprised. They're going to change everything up. Everything up. So it doesn't matter what paper currency you have right now. They're going to change this whole thing up, because they're not going to let you get ahead on this stuff. So it's really something that you should know and make plans for, based off of your own understanding and your research. Don't take somebody's word for it. This is too critical. You need to find out for your own. Okay, now, next one is Saudi Arabia said to order spending curbs amidst oil price slumps. Remember, remember yesterday we talked about how we heard the lady from that was basically, in my opinion, none more than the CIA spoof on Fox News talking about how you know right now the administration should do what Reagan did against Iran and drive down the price of oil and everything else. Well, they are doing it, but see, this is the thing. This is all directly connected to the Syrian conflict, and why? One of the things that they want to do is they want to bring this globe to a world war, and what better way to do is over resources in oil. And they still control it. They still control the resources because the people don't. But what they do want to control is they want to control your free will. And believe me, they are creating technology as we speak, trying to get you to lose your free will. Kind of reminds me of something that you heard, a story that you heard about that was a total lie. And that story had people where they thought one thing and it was something different. And we're going to talk about that later on, probably next week. And it was a huge, huge happening. And they talk about it all the time, but have you really, really researched and taken a look at what possibly could have happened? So this is what is happening here is that this is going to be one of the beginnings in the avenues to get the whole world into a global war, or all of the governments in a global war, not against each other, but against the people of the world. But we will think that they're fighting each other and we need to defend them. Man, I wish we would just wake up for a day. It's so crazy. So they're going to instigate a fight and have you give your lives, your children's lives, your future. They're going to mortgage your future in blood just for you to say that you were a good patriot. Man, really think, once you start asking questions, answers start coming. So now, check out that article. Also, NATO chief says that they're prepared to send troops to defend Turkey. Once again, this is all the same thing. It's moving much closer. We posted that there in Tando. Check it out and see what's going on. Another Russian has ground troops, battalions, advanced tanks in Syria, says the UN envoy. So the overall global paradigm is the overall global war scene is really breaking out big time. But hey, there was something that was really important. If you're in the St. Louis area, there's something that you need to pay close attention to. And what I want to do, let me just bring the story up here. And it's out of St. Louis. There is a fire that's at one of the St. Louis dumps. And this fire is an underground fire that's been waging since 2010. And it's deep underground. It's a landfill, and it's a fire that's going on. Now the fire has built, burned within, this is what the report from the article says, within 1,200 feet of nuclear waste material that was stored there within the landfill that was weapons grade nuclear material. So this is the article, and it comes from, how about this, it comes from the Japan Times. How about that? Not even reported here in the U.S. How to find this on the Japan Times. Check it out. Here's the article. Underground fires 300 meters from nuclear waste causes St. Louis to hatch contingency plans. St. Louis. Beneath the surface of a St. Louis area landfill lurks in two things that should never meet: a slow-burning fire and a cache of Cold War-era nuclear waste separated by only 300 meters. Government officials have quickly adopted an emergency plan in case the smoldering embers ever reach the waste, and potentially a catastrophic event that could could send up a plume of radioactive smoke over a densely populated area near the city's main airport. So if you're in the St. Louis area, now you know where that landfill is. There's a major, major event that's going on right now that you should know about. And this is this would be in the same category as a dirty bomb. I'm not sure how much is there, but I know one thing. If it's there and they can't put this fire out, it's been burning since 2010, it's going to just to continue to consume and burn and send those plumes of radioactive material, which could explode, into the atmosphere. And it's no different than a dirty bomb. So listen. So here it goes on. Although the fire at the bridge, although the fire at the Bridgeton landfill has been burning since at least 2010, so now you really don't know how long it's been burning or how close it is. The plans for a worst-case scenario was developed only a year ago and never publicized until this week. They knew about this for so long and never told the general public. And then there are people that say that they're conspiracy theorists, and these people are totally ignorant to what's really going on in the world. They are nothing more. They speak as an asshat. And this is ridiculous. They knew about this a year ago and said nothing about it. This is what they will always do. They will never tell you anything until it's absolutely too late. Why? Because they don't regard you as significant at all. So now, it goes on. City executives. Oh, no, I skipped the part. A worst-case scenario developed only a year ago and was never publicized until this week when the St. Louis radio station first obtained a copy. See, this is why mainstream media is not important and why alternative media is. County executive Steve Schringer cautioned that the plan is not an indication of any imminent danger. What? It is a county government's responsibility to protect the health and health and safety and well-being of the St. Louis County residents, he said in a statement. Landfill operator Republic Services also downplayed the risk intercept as well. Underground structures that capture below the surface gas and other safeguards are in place to keep the fire and the nuclear waste material separated. County officials and emergency management have an obligation to plan for various scenarios, even very remote ones, the landfill spokesman said in a statement, calling the landfill safe and intensely monitored, which means nothing. Monitored for what and safe by whose terms? Let me tell you something. It's safe for them, not safe for you. The cause of the fire is unknown. For years, the concerns have been for an odor created by the smoldering fire. Republic Services is spending $1 million of its money to ease or eliminate the smell by removing concrete pipes that allow the odors to escape into the insulated pipes caps over parts of the landfill. So, listen, there's a landfill that's filled with Cold War weapons grade material. And there is a fire that's underway within the landfill, deep in the landfill, that they can't get to put it out. They can't get to it to pull it out because they covered it all over for so many years, and then now they can't get to it. And now it's been burning for 10 years. So if you're in the St. Louis area and you're close to the main airport, this is something that you need to know and monitor and prepare for. Now and watch and do whatever, you know, let your conscience be your guide. So just wanted to give you a heads up there because I heard about it, so I needed to tell you about it. Okay, also, I'm going to go back to the, what else we have there? And that was basically it from the stories they posted today, but everyone in the St. Louis area, really find out about this, find out what's going on. And like I said, let your conscience be your guide on what you should do. Now you know, so it's on you to think about and have a plan for something if something goes wrong. Do not depend on these people, because think about it. They knew about this for years and never said anything. Never, ever said anything. So how is the general public to know and to be prepared for this? So this is very concerning. So, all right, so today's show, what I wanted to do is I wanted to talk about preparedness from the very standpoint of for beginners. For everyone that's new to preparedness, let's talk about how do you start. Now, one of the things I want to do is I really want to emphasize, and we're going to play this video, then we're going to come back. One of the things I want to individually emphasize is that this is not anything that you should fear. You should never, ever fear anything in life, in my opinion, because it's not worth that energy. It's not worth that energy. The most important thing that you can do is take a look at everything and make decisions that are in your best interest and in your family's best interest, and you do your absolute best with that. And that doesn't mean that you just do your best of ignoring, you know, unless that's who you are and that's what you want to do. That's fine. Then when things go wrong, you really can't have anyone to blame but yourself for things. And I think there's a responsibility that we have to know different things and make the best decisions, because we've seen what the past and what history has taught us about the overall preparedness and the concern that the so-called authorities have for you. None whatsoever. They don't care about you, no matter how much you care for them. No matter how much you give them whatever they want, you call them sir, you give them whatever you can have, and you obey their directives, and you ensure that they have the quality of life that you only wish that you can have, and you sacrifice everything that you have for them, they still don't care about you, and they never will. They never, ever will. You have to value who you are, because you're more, your value supersedes their authority, their false and facade of authority that's given to them. So you have to care about you. You have to care about your family. Why? Because it's due. It's due. And so I think it's really important that you not stress about anything, and you don't overextend yourself in preparing for anything. But what you should do is you should prepare for just some of the smallest things that you possibly can prepare for, but never, ever, ever walk away from things. And never, ignorance is never a bliss. That is not an approach that you should ever take, try to be ignorant about things. Because it's only going to, it may not hurt you, it may not catch you, but at some point it's going to catch someone, and that could be you. And it could be you. So it's not worth doing. So try to look at the reality of things, prepare for things, and then continue to enjoy the great life and live by your standard. God has created you free and independent, and you should execute your life in that manner. No person is more valuable than you. Remember, so often we look at the days of slavery and say that we wouldn't participate in that. But guess what? If you participated in it now, you would have participated in it in the past. Because there's no difference. Really evaluate and look at who you are. You're so valuable, and you're so important. You're so relevant. You're so unique. There's only one that has ever been made like you. And that is something that you should cherish, because if you don't cherish it, no one else will. It's just a fact of life. No one else will. So it first starts with you. So, hey, let's jump into this video real quick. It's not a real long video. I wanted to play this video because this guy said some really, really good things. I don't do YouTube videos for... But I like to play other people's stuff. And, you know, this gentleman, I'll post his video inside of Tando, but he has a really good video, and I agree with pretty much everything that this guy says. And then we're going to come back and talk about the table of preparedness and how to apply it for the beginners. Any beginners that are into preparing, we're going to talk about some of the things, just my advice for you and what you need to be looking at and where to start. So we're going to jump into this video, then after the video, we'll go to a commercial break and get back into the show. You're listening to the Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network.
You are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
With the plethora of information overload online with respect to prepping, I thought it would be appropriate to make a video specific to prepping for beginners. And these are a series of tips and actions that you can take with respect to starting off with your prepping goals. I know personally, having met hundreds of preppers, that a lot of them, when they first get into this, there's a great sense of urgency. There's this need to act or do with respect to prepping, being self-sustainable, taking care of your own, as we'll say. There's also a great overwhelmingness of knowledge and information. Once you break that initial shell of, wow, I need to prepare, the information online can be overwhelming. So these are a few different tips, suggestions that I've created specifically for people that are new to preparing. So the first tip is relax. A lot of preppers become overwhelmed, and they get consumed with how much information is out there to the point where they're not relaxed people. So you have to learn to take a step back and just relax and accept the fact that you can't do everything in one day. The second tip that I have for you is spend your time wisely. I like to think of it more as it's a lifestyle for me, specifically. And the whole key with that is you want to be able to enjoy your life. People that get into this become obsessed. And it's important to moderate how you spend your time with respect to prepping. There's no reason to allow it to consume you. The third tip that I have is you want to be able to turn fear into comfort. This is sort of the beer glass, half full, half empty mentality. And a lot of preppers that are getting into this tend to have a never enough mentality, never enough food stores, never enough this or that. You need to change that into comfort. You need to, first of all, you should congratulate yourself that you've opened up to the idea of prepping. And anything that you do have, as far as preps, you're part of a very special, small niche now of people. And just appreciate what you have and what you've learned as you take your steps. Realize that it's a lifelong journey and you're not going to get everything done in one day. The fourth tip that I have is be aware of the community. Now, we are at a point of information overload with respect to the internet, YouTube, videos like this, Facebook, online forums, and you have to be cautious about it, and I'll tell you why. There's a lot of organizations and people that are in this to take your money. They don't care about you, and they will do things like intentionally use fear to get you to purchase their product or service. It's a shame, but it's out there. There's every negative aspect you can think of with respect to human society is in the prepping community and world too. It's terrible, but I have seen preppers that are racist and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. In addition to that, there's a lot of garbage information. And again, it's unfortunate, but there are a lot of things out there as far as YouTube videos and online forums where people clearly don't know what the heck they're talking about. There are some schools out there too, so-called prepping schools, where their main objective is to take your money. They don't care. Now, I don't want you to discontinue or think that all schools are bad. You'll have to discover for yourself who's passionate and who's not. Tip number five is about networking. There's a great sense of relief that I find when I meet new preppers and I'm the first prepper that they've met ever. And it's this sort of instant connection or instant sense of relief, gratification that's like, wow, I've met somebody with a similar mindset. I'm not crazy, sort of mentality. And you don't need to be allow the media, allow the pressures of TV shows alter what you feel or how you think about preparing. Preparing's a smart thing to do. If you break it down, we're all preppers to some degree, right? If you put a toque or if you've got a battery booster in your vehicle, to some degree you're preparing, but it's just on a smaller scale. Now, that doesn't mean you have to buy 5,000 rounds of ammunition and build a bunker over the next 5 years, but I just wanted to point that out, that prepping in general is just an intelligent mindset to have. It's about taking control of your own survival and self-sustainability. Tip number 6 is be quiet. Because of the negative stereotypes that we have with the media and organized corporations as far as what prepping is all about, a lot of people don't get it. And if you're to tell most people, I'm a prepper, they're going to roll their eyes and think you're crazy. That's fine. Let them feel and do what they need to do. But there's no point in sharing that information with them. Now, if you get into it and people start asking questions, brush it off as a hobby. Brush it off as, it's a weekend thing. That's the only way it should be transmitted to people around you. Unless, of course, they have an interest in prepping themselves. Then you can open the door carefully and introduce the idea of prepping to them as a prepper. Tip number 7 is get outside and take action. So this is a really important step, because when people wake up to the idea, they get stuck in what I like to call armchair mode or armchair prepper. And what that basically is a reclusive individual that's opened up to the idea of preparing but has not taken the steps or actions to actually do anything about it. They're stuck online watching videos and reading on forums about how to better prepare themselves without failing to physically take action. Now we're going to talk about the first steps you should take that I've personally come to the conclusion as far as doing. The first thing you want to do, or I would do at least, is start getting into food stores. This can be as simple as when you do grocery shopping, picking up that extra 10 cans of tomato sauce that's on sale. You also want to get into food preservation techniques. Don't limit yourself to pressure canning. Look at freeze-dried, dehydrated, canned goods, etc., 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 etc. Food preservation, as far as preparedness goes, is extremely important. So it's important to get familiar with the different food preservation techniques, in addition to start working towards building up your food base or food arsenal. That doesn't mean you got to go out and spend $1,000 tomorrow, but it could mean getting in touch with your local LDS church, Mormons, which have food, bulk food preservation facilities that sell to the public at excellent prices. The next step I would take is learn a practical skill. Now, it doesn't have to be a practical skill directly related to prepping. It could be something like martial arts. It could be something like a ham radio course is a good one. Some people would argue that it does directly relate. I guess in some respects it does, but I'll get into more specific things after. And this is something you can do with the family, which is great. There's no reason why you can't take your son or daughter out or your significant other and take a defense course once a week or learn a bit about agriculture. Obviously not in Ontario this time of year. The third step I would do is embrace primitive skills in general. And the reason I would suggest this is because primitive skills have a unique overlap with preparing, because while we'll be taking a lot of practical measures to preserve food, in the possibility of no electricity, it's important to have primitive skills, food preservation techniques, the know-how, anyways, in mind. And I would also suggest mastering one. For example, fire. Master the bow drill. In the summertime, next time you go camping with your family, take watch any number of videos that are online and take the time to learn how to do the bow drill. Really important. Practically, you're probably not going to use the bow drill if you so-called bug out, but it's important to be able to derive everything from a survival perspective back to primitive skills because they could potentially become very important. Next thing I would do is get familiar with practical survival skills. Now, back to the initial ham radio, martial arts dynamic, those are practical, but more specific. So when we talk about specific, what do you need to live? Food, fire, water, shelter, oxygen, in the advent of some disaster, security, healthcare, psychological and physical, in addition to knowing on what's going on around you, become very important. So from a practical perspective, knowing how to make a fire using fire starters would be very important. We're looking at if you've got a shelter and a tarp, what sort of nuts would I have to learn to sustain that, to keep that tarp up? How would I purify water if I was walking in the bush? From a perspective today, it could be something like the life straw. The next step would be to create a so-called bug-out bag. That bug-out bag is basically something that is able to sustain you, all the amenities of life, while you're traveling to location X. And there's a ton of videos on that, but you know what? Forget all of them, because I'm going to make an awesome video for you soon on bug-out bags, the epitome of bug-out bags. And focus on what makes you focus on the necessities. Focus on what is necessary to get you from point A to point B. And when I say necessities, I mean necessity of life. Fire starters, a way to purify water, a way to have shelter, a way to protect your protect your air intake and N95 masks, because we don't know if a viral pandemic is going to happen. And obviously something to eat on the way. Finally, have a game plan for your family. There's a lot of good argument to say that you can't bug in, as they say, stay home. And I'll get into that in another video, but you should have a plan to go somewhere. Maybe it's a friend's cottage. Maybe it's a secret place off of what we call Crown Land in Canada up here. Maybe it's a community of preppers that you already know. The important thing is to take action with respect to prepping and network, because when you network, you learn, and when you learn, your realm of knowledge in this goes that much bigger. So best of luck. I hope this was helpful, and I hope to see you on Facebook, YouTube, or out in the field with my network, the Ontario Prepper Survival Network.
You are tuned in to the Tando Radio Show on Black Talk Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Give us a call at 641-715-3660. That's 641-715-3660. The participant code is 549-032-POUND, 549-032-POUND. To signal the host, hit *61. Now back to Dave and the Tando Radio Show.
Hi, welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. And I hope you guys picked up a lot from that video. And I mainly wanted to play it because there were some things that the gentleman said that was so right. It's you know, preparing is not something that should cause you any stress. And I do find a lot of people get overwhelmed, and immediately when you start giving them some of the information or some of the reasons why they should prepare, they immediately go to fear. And that is because that's the way that we've been trained in school to respond to threats, from a standpoint of fear and a standpoint of someone else should be taking care of this for us, i.e. the government, i.e. the authorities, i.e. the police, i.e. the fire department, this, you know, and so on and so on. And that always brings about a false sense of security, but most importantly, it brings about a handicapping of our own individual abilities, which are great. So when it comes to preparing, I would say the first thing that you need to prepare is your spirit and be mentally capable of handling stress. That's really what it starts with. And you should engage in things that would actually bring about that type of outcome where you can be able to handle stress and have a spiritual foundation, and that in itself will allow you to be able to handle any form of stress. And I'm telling you, it's something that we really, really, in my opinion, is so important. One of the most important things that has ever, I mean, one of the most controlling things and manipulative things that have ever been done against mankind is to bring in the ambient of fear. Because it's such a controlling factor. It enslaves everyone to paralyze them not to be able to move. I have a little saying that fear is something that the coward and the person of valor both experience at the exact same time. While the fear paralyzes the coward, the person of valor is motivated to action because of it. It doesn't stop them. It doesn't cause them to be innate. It doesn't cause them to not be able to respond. They're not paralyzed by it. They're not, you know, putting their head in the sand, acting as if it doesn't. They're not ignoring it, hoping it will go away, playing possum. So, when it, you know, and I think that that's the thing, that first thing that you have to deal with is you have to deal with preparing from a spiritual standpoint. And then when you deal with it from a spiritual standpoint, you start to realize that there isn't anything that you need to fear with it. And that is so, so important. So, just a great video. If you have any comments, definitely give us a call at 1-641-715-3660, and the participant code is 549032#. Then hit *61 to let me know, and that will prompt me to know that you're there, and I will get right to you so we can hear your question or your comment for the audience. Like I always say, a dialogue is always better than a monologue. So give us a call if you have a question or a comment. And this is something that's so important when you talk about preparing from the beginning. Okay? So now, but before we move on, there was a couple other things that I wanted to highlight within what the gentleman was saying. That is so true about you have to be really careful in the preparedness realm, because you deal with all types of personalities. Every personality that you wanted to get away from, that you were preparing for, are there in the preparedness realm. You know, I've seen guys that had very extensive military training, very extensive tactical training, and their thought was they can't wait for things to go wrong so that they can go around and take stuff from people that have been preparing. So you meet all kinds of individuals within this, you know, within the preparedness realm. The preparedness realm is not a realm that's exclusive, and it's something that separates one person from another. Just some people choose to do more of it and consider it more than others. And you find all walks of life that's here. You have actual people that are trying to exploit the overall preparedness field and realm. You definitely have that, because one of the things that I always say is that you never want to ever overextend yourself. Never want to overextend your budget. Live within your budget and save in your preparedness. Make your steps, and you know, you can never know what it is that you're going to need, so don't stress about it. Just have an idea, and until you are able to obtain what you need, do not overextend yourself by any means. It's not necessary. It's you know, it only brings on more stress, and that's counterproductive, and that defeats the whole purpose of preparing. Okay? And it's, you know, I never like when I hear people that's in the preparedness realm saying that they're preparing because they're scared. Scared people are extremely dangerous. Let me tell you, if you're an individual that scares easy, then you're dangerous to yourself. you're actually going to bring about some anxiety that is going to make you very unstable mentally. And scared people are dangerous to everyone else around them because they're irrational. Totally, totally irrational. Thoughtful people, calm people, patient people, and let me tell you, patience is a real talent. It's a real, real talent that is so important in the overall preparedness realm. Because you look at things and you're patient about how to deal with certain things. Okay? So it's very for the beginners and even for the people that have been doing it for a while. What you want to do is you want to pace yourself and never overextend yourself. You want to, you know, make this a part of your lifestyle. What do I mean by make this a part of your lifestyle? And there's nothing about preparedness that shouldn't be a part of your lifestyle. Every person should be, and every person is. If you have a refrigerator, you're a prepper. Because you place food inside of the refrigerator so that you can use it at a later date and it will be fresh. Guess what? That's what a prepper does. That's everyone is. So just now, it's just that you need to consider some things that could threaten you and your family if they happen or when they happen, because some of the things that you should be preparing for are seasonal. And the seasonal things is where I think every person should start. Because there is a very conspiratorial energy that's given to people that are preparing for things. Let me tell you why. Because the authorities know that peppers are people that think for themselves, and they don't need them to validate their existence. A lot of the preppers, the reason why people prepare is because they come to find out that everything that they've instituted is a charade and a fraud, it's fraudulent, and it's not just fraudulent in one aspect. The ubiquitous fraud is everywhere. And so they become the conscience that the authorities can't live with. So what do? They try to ostracize them. So this is, you know, some of the things that you deal with within the prepping realm. So, but today, what I really want to talk about is how do you start? Where should you start, in my opinion? What is the important things that you need to start with after you get past the spiritual part and the mental part? Okay, now you're no longer scared. Now you say, okay, where do I start? And I think the first place that you start is wherever you live in the country. You need to look at what are some of the natural disasters or the natural events that can affect you seasonally that can have an adverse effect on you or your family. Case in point, Southern California, earthquakes. We never know when earthquakes are going to happen here in Southern California, so you have to be ready for them at any time. And that means there are certain things that you have to do. You know, like in our house, you know, one thing is that we never close our doors. You never, ever, ever close our doors. And there's a reason why we never close our door. Because if we have an earthquake, that door may get jammed in this position, and you won't be able to get in and out of the rooms if you're in one. And this is something that happens regularly. And it's actually, you actually can see it in different parts, you know, Southern California, where doors start to stick. And that's because the foundation has moved. It's the exact same thing with, you know, some of the things. And so that is just an example of some of the things that you need to prepare for. One, you need to look at where you are in the country and who you are. And who you are is so, so important to preparedness. Because everyone's needs are different. Everyone's capabilities are different. Everyone's intrinsic value is different. And you need to work within those scopes. So one, I would say first and foremost, as in starting as a new prepper or even as a established someone that's been preparing for a while, you need to look at, to start, you need to look at what are the seasonal things that are going to affect you. Then not only the seasonal things, what are the current events and the atmosphere that is going, that is affecting you. Very, very important. So basically what you need to do is you need to survey where and who you are. And that's an honest survey of where and who you are. Where you are in the country, where you are within, you know, a city or in the or in any rural part. What is going on in that area? What are some of the different threats? You know, and right now we're in hurricane season. And if you're in Florida, if you live in Florida, or you live in the hurricane alley, or you live in a tornado alley, it would be darn near foolish, especially if you're in the hurricane alley, it would be foolish for you not to be prepared for anything. And guess what? You won't be that way for long if you survive that ignorance. If you survive that ignorance. So this is something that we need to do. So next, after looking at where you are geographically and where and within your environment, and counted all of those things, which you need to look at as a threat to you and your family, and it's basically if something happens that would cut you off from your regular way of life, what do you have to get you back to your normal way of life, or to get you to where you can endure whatever the occurrence is until it subsides. If it's, you know, snow, if it's a heavy blizzard, you know, snow, if it's wind, if it's, you know, heavy torrential rain, mudslides, and all of those things, you can put them all together and see and see exactly what I'm speaking of. So you need to apply that to your life. Now, what I want to talk about, and without a doubt, if you'd like to get in on the conversation, definitely give us a call, 641-715-3660. And the participant code is 549032#, and just hit *61, and I will bring you up for your question or comment right away. So if you'd like to get in on the conversation, we'd love to talk to you about preparing for beginners or even just for people that have been preparing for a while. Now, what I like to do is I like to break preparedness down into, I talked about it yesterday, into what I call the table of preparedness. And it's, I like to use a table of preparedness because a table is something that's used to for so many different things to bring stability. You know, it's used for, you know, so many things, as you already know. But with the table of preparedness, you have to have, in my opinion, all of those things working in conjunction with each other, and they be equally balanced in order for you to have a more feasible or a more complete or balanced approach to preparedness. And I like to use the table because just imagine a table with three legs. If it has a table with three legs, is almost virtually useless. A table with two legs is almost virtually useless. So you want to have complete balance when it comes to preparedness. You don't want to overextend or have too much of one thing and not enough of the others, because sometimes having too much of one thing is only going to mean that it's going to really jeopardize your overall beneficial or positive outcome of any event because of that. It's actually a liability. And what do I mean by that? In a lot of cases, when you speak to, I'm going to just take, you know, for example, with men, when you talk about preparedness, first thing that they think about is the protection side of it all. And some people can overextend themselves in the protection side and not have something more crucial like the food side. And then you talk to women about preparedness, and they do the complete opposite. They think more about sometimes the food side, and they won't think really about the energy side or the shelter side. You know, it's really funny how it works, because One thing about women, they think about protection, but one thing with what's good about women is they usually don't go overboard with the protection. What they will do is slightly go under, but also they may not get trained in the overall side of protection that they have, and they should, you know. But men fall victim to that too. But men have the tendency to go overboard in protection and there's other areas that are lacking that are so necessary. So let me tell you what I think the balance is. You have food and water, food being one leg of the table of preparedness, water being another leg of the table of preparedness, shelter being another leg of the table of preparedness, protection being another leg, and then energy being another leg. One brother, Brother Donald said, "What energy?" Sent me a message. Well, we're going to talk about what energy is so necessary, and I'm going to start with energy just to give the answer, my brother Donald. Energy is very, very important. You think about energy, and you think about the reason why you are living is because you have energy. You actually are a living, energized spirit. Anything that has no energy has no life. Has no life whatsoever. So energy is really, really important. And it's significantly important in preparedness, and is one of the things that people overlook. They overlook the energy side. Very, very, it becomes very, very dangerous and costly in so many ways. So what am I talking about energy-wise? Well, to give you a couple of examples of what energy is. Energy would be like generators, which I believe are very good, but they have their limitations depending on what it is that you're trying to prepare for. If you're just preparing for, you have some high winds and you have some trees that go down and they take down your overall power lines and your power goes out, then a generator is good because you can expect that to be fixed. Now, a generator, one that's loud, can also become a liability to you in a prolonged, depending on what is happening. If you're like in a hurricane zone, the lights go out, you're in Florida, the lights go out, which is very common, and then you could go to your generator or your backup generator, and you know at some point, depending on if the storm was not that bad, it wasn't that severe, you know that you're only going to go through a momentary power outage. Or you have brownouts in the summer, sometimes in Southern California, and they cut the, you know, power and everything else, and you have a generator for some of the things that you may need to get done at it's not an appropriate time for it. Then it's really not a threat. But now, let's say you have a major, major, major earthquake or some major event where you know and everyone else knows that power is not going to be coming on for a very long time, you may want to really think about, is it strategically the time to break out a loud generator? And I would tell you no. This is why it's probably better to have a solar generator. And that's all depending on where you live. If you live in Southern California, I can't see any reason why you wouldn't have a solar generator almost first before even a gas generator, because the bad thing about the gas generator is that a gas generator is only as good as the gas that you have to energize it. So it has some real limitations. So that is what energy is. Energy is also, like I said, you could use solar, you could use battery power, you can use you can also incorporate so many different things into creating energy. You can actually get cranks where you can establish electrical power through for small devices, for radios and things of that nature. That energy is extremely important, extremely, extremely important. Energy is also a part of how would you cook your food. You need energy in to cook your food. And there's something that I would suggest everyone here take a look at. It's very energy efficient. It's called a rock, a rocket stove. A rocket stove. And why this rock? Listen, we're getting ready to go to a commercial break. When we come back, I'm gonna finish this energy side of it. We're talking about the table of preparedness. What should you be looking at in, as a beginner? And I want to give very cost-efficient ways to, in order to do this, to start you off in becoming a preparer of whatever is going to happen in the future. Listen to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. Get ready to go to a commercial break. We'll be right back.
Tando Radio Show is live on Black Talk Radio Network, Monday through Fridays at 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern. Check Black Talk Radio Network on Facebook for updates. Also, don't forget to follow Tando Radio Show on Facebook as well. Have a question or comment for the host? Give us a call at 641-715-3660. That's 641-715-3660. The participant code is 549-032-POUND. That's 549-032-POUND. To signal the host, hit *61. Now back to Tando Radio Show on the Black Talk Radio Network.
Welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, David Wren, a.k.a. Dave from L.A. Would love to hear from you. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, you have some suggestions, you have some questions about preparing, give us a call, because today's show is... We're just going to focus on some of the things that you should be looking at and what you should be doing in preparedness. And this is just my opinion and my opinion only. So we were talking about the table of preparedness, and the table of preparedness is one leg is food, one leg. So, go ahead, Scotty.
Well, before you move on from the generators, the last time we were talking about generators on this program, I was talking about, you know, a lot of times you have to get an electrician to come in and install the outlet for you to be able mm-hmm. to plug the generator up into the house. And I got to thinking, I was like, wouldn't it be great if somebody invented something like a surge protector or, you know, like those strips that you can plug up into the wall, and then you got like 8 different outlets you can now plug all this stuff into. Well, they actually do make something like that for generators. I looked it up and was able to find it. You put it you plug it into the generator, which has special, you know, type connectors in order to connect to it. But then it's basically like a electrical strip that has all these different things where you can then, you know, plug in your items to it. So I think it was like, I have to get back to you. I forget how much it was. It wasn't terribly expensive. And then that way right. you can get around having to hire an electrician and, you know, rewire the house and get them to plug into it. You just pull the generator out, crank that bad boy up, then plug that into there, and then you can run all your cords to that.
Right. And see, what Scotty's talking about is so efficient, because now you can use the generator and optimize what it is that you need, and not have to, like Scotty said, have an unnecessary expense. Because the old way was that you had to have the house, you know, the house had to be fitted for generator use.
Yeah, and then the other thing is, then if you have that, you can take that generator anywhere.
Anywhere, right. Right. You could take it anywhere. You could take it, put it in your, if you have a truck, take it with your truck. And then you could just plug things in, and so that is easy. All of your electrical components can just plug right into the generator through these strips, and it just transfer the energy right over, and then the converter, and then you're good to go. You're good to go. So yeah, that is something that is so efficient, and you need to know about these things before, but so that you can use the equipment that you have or what you're going to purchase more effectively and more efficiently, because there's always some surprises. And yet, Scotty, have you find that. Yeah, just let me know, and then I'll put.
Yeah, I'm looking up. I'm looking it up now. But I'm also seeing that they have what's called generator adapters that work in the same way, yeah. But it only give you one outlet. So I'll keep seeing if I can find it again, and I'll let you know.
Yeah, because that's the thing. There are some, you know, there are some generators that are out there, and they just have one or two outlets. But that, yeah, that'd be great. So it becomes more universal and has more expansion and more uses, just like a strip, a circuit breaker strip, because then you could plug different things into it and get more use out of it. And it's so important. So. And then there was another thing just before we went to the break. One of the things, and what I would like to do is I like to bring to you things that are relatively cheap that you can do or make yourself. Now, what I would tell everyone, this thing is really, and it falls under energy, is called a rocket stove. Now, you can make a real small rocket stove, and you can look it up on YouTube. I'll post it inside of Tando. And this thing is man, it's a great, great tool. It's a great tool because it maximizes the energy that you have, combustible energy, burning energy, without having to use a lot of fuel for you to get the use out of the burn. Basically, you can cook food with just one or two twigs of, you know, very few, just a minimal twigs in order to have a fire hot enough to actually boil water and to cook food with without using, you know, a lot of fuel. And it's also really efficient and effective, if you look at it, some of the bigger ones, in heating your home. Now, that is something that you need to make sure that it is, you know, if you're into that, you're into that advanced prepping, then make sure that, because you don't want the carbon monoxide going into the house, because it will kill you. It will put you to sleep permanently. So you want to make sure that you're protected there. But this thing is so effective and efficient. It's ridiculous, and it's very cheap. You can make it yourself with just some cans. If you just have some of the tools, common tools, and I know that things work because I've used it before, and it's far better than bringing a bunch of equipment out into, let's say if you're going camping, a bunch of equipment out. You need all this equipment to have fire, and then guess what? You need a bunch of wood, and where are you going to find wood? This thing is, it just takes minimal amount of energy to keep it going, and it's extremely, extremely hot. So look up, for energy, a good one would be a rocket stove. You can check that out on YouTube, but I will post it in Tando. So now, energy, I like to call it the table of preparedness, because everything should be connected to it, because energy is so important. Without energy, you know, you yourself will not go on. And if you know, one of the things that one of the shows that that I watch and I laugh at, and it really brings about a real point, is that something called Naked and Afraid. One of the things that they don't have is they don't have energy in order to keep their, they don't have shelter and energy to provide for fire to keep them, to use as a sustaining force in their life. And they can use it to boil water. They can use it to cook food. They can use it to protect themselves. They can use it to keep themselves warm. And so many things, you know. And so energy is very, very key, and is one of the things that a lot of people forget when it comes to preparedness. And now the thing with energy is this. I try to look for the most efficient way, and this is why I think for me in Southern California, depending on where you are, if you have a lot of sun exposure, then you really want to use solar. You really, really want to use solar. And then at different times of the year, you may want to switch out and go to something else. You know, when you have the availability to long days in the sun, then you want to use that, and you want to have the equipment to do that, the batteries. You know, they have generators, solar generators now that you can use. You can even make your own solar panels, and you can make your own converter to convert that into energy. It's not hard at all now. You know, it's right there on YouTube, and it's virtually the cost expense to it is very, very small. Or you could buy things that have been made. I know that there are some solar generators that are out there. They can be quite expensive, and they could be, you know, they're not as they don't have a very long charge rate. But the good thing about them is that you don't need fuel. If you have sun, you know, they could charge the battery and then you could reuse it the next day, and so it's so many different ways to use it. So that's something that you need to think about when it comes to energy. Energy is very, very key. Next, let's go back to then we go to food. Let's go to one of the tables. I wanted to jump to energy because my man Donald had asked what energy. And, of course, gas is a part of the energy and so on. But now let's go to one of the legs. And like I said before, having the whole table of preparedness, it has to be even and balanced. You can't leave any parts of it out, because if you leave any parts of it out, you really are going to have yourself vulnerable to everything not working. Everything not working. So let's go to food. Now, food is self-explanatory. A lot of people understand that. You want to have, you know, depending on the size of your family, you want to look at your eating habits. You want to make sure that you acquire food that your family is used to. I really, really think that you really want to move to providing your family with really nutritious food. And, of course, that could have some real expenses to it. But this is not, you know, I don't think that you should overdo it. And, you know, you never, ever want to overextend your budget. And you never, ever, no matter what it is, do what you can. If you can do, you know, buy in the food, you know, some bulk food, some rice, a couple of extra bags of rice, a couple of extra cans or bags of beans, you know, then you have to look at how are you actually going to cook or prepare the items that you're going to. That needs to be taken into play. One of the things that I would say is initially you want to get items that is not going to require you to have a lot of preparation in doing it. Beans require a lot of preparation if you're going to get it out of the bag, but it's still great for the storage life that on that. So there's a trade-off. But initially, I think you want to be able to provide for your family for at least 1 week without having to replenish your food. So basically what I'm saying is you want to have, in the beginning, try to get 1 week's worth of food for yourself and your family, okay, and then build from there. And you want to look at your food source based off of nutritional value and the health needs that you have. And that is something that this is why preparing is so different with everyone. There is no cookie cutter other than you're going to need food and water, shelter, protection, and energy. That's the table of preparedness. Everyone is going to need that. That goes without saying, okay? And if you don't think that you need shelter, you're sadly mistaken. Watch that Naked and Afraid. You know, you'll see quickly that, you know, we're different than every other living thing on this planet. They can adapt to the environment. We can't. We need artificial assistance in dealing with it. But we'll get to that. But so food. So I would say for every person that's starting out, start off, try to get for your family and yourself at least 1 week's worth of food. And, of course, that's depending on how big your family is. And I would say try to get food that doesn't require any preparation other than it's ready to go. Okay? Now, what I wouldn't do is I wouldn't jump right away to the very expensive MREs, meals ready to eat, the freeze-dried foods and all of that other things, if your budget cannot bear that. And I wouldn't even start with that, even if you could, because there are other things that you could be doing that's more cost-efficient and ready to go right away. Okay? So what you want to do is try to find a very nutritional source of food for your family and to introduce that to the family, or if you already have a very nutritional, a strong nutritional-based diet, that's where you want to start with your overall preparedness. One week of food. You have to start there. Now, that's, you know, that would be number two. That's not the main thing, but it's one of the things that you have to have. Also with food, you have to look at how you're going to store it and where you're going to store it. How you're going to store it and where you're going to store it. And also, where can you get it from? And even if you don't have the ability to get food right now, in case something major happened, where would you be able to get it in case of an emergency? That's something that you need to think about now. Okay, that's something that you need to think about now. So 1 week's worth of food, highly nutritious food. Whatever you do, don't bring junk food into the play. You don't need to, one, waste your money, your cash on that. Is there a place for that in very, very, very small quantities? Yes. That could be great for barter. That could be great for a bunch of anything in a real prolonged, drawn-out situation. But initially, I don't think that you want to start as a prepper that way unless you have the economic resources to do that. Then it's totally different. It really depends on you. Now, I would say this. Just because you are not in that type of position does not mean that you won't do well in a situation where you need to go to your source of preparation. There are some people that will have, you know, all of the so-called special, you know, equipment and all of the tools for preparedness, and they spent millions and millions of dollars on their overall preparation. And guess what? Something bad will happen, and just because of the luck of the draw, they get taken out. And there are some people that haven't prepared but one thing in preparation, and then some things will happen, and they will do the best. But see, because it's the mindset that comes into play first. And then what you want to do is you want to increase your odds of doing well by obtaining the things now when there is no disaster or occurrence that you need to prepare for. Because see, that's the key to preparing, is that you want to act before something happens so that you won't have to act during the event. Only thing that you'll have to do is strategically respond to it from a position of advantage. Well, what do I mean by that? It's this. Let's say you go take a look at, and I like to use this example all the time, look at Black Friday. When everybody is at whatever store, pick a store, and you know all these people want this new item that's coming out. What do people do? They line up for weeks and weeks in advance. Everything is cool. Right, they talk to the people outside the day before, you know, on Thanksgiving. They give up their Thanksgiving day because they don't even care about that anymore. I'm saying it's all about the consumption. Man, how they really, really played us. And then what happens? The doors start to open, and what do? They start pushing. They have total disregard for other people. There is no integrity of a line or anything else. What it basically is showing you, how people can go from civilized to feral quickly. It's every person for themselves. And what do? They have a mad dash. They'll push, trample, they'll have a stampede, step on people. They'll do fight. They'll do everything imaginable just to get some consumer, an item, an inanimate item. That, guess what, 3 months from then, whatever that gift is going to be is not even going to be significant. A year for sure. 2 years after that, forget about it. And it's ridiculous, but these are the practices, and this is the schooling that happens with us. So if you have a disaster or a means for preparedness and you don't have the essentials, the basic human essentials, what do you think the people who have been schooled in how to respond to Black Friday, what do you think that they're going to respond to on Disaster Monday? They're going to be far worse. Far, far worse. And this is why you want to prepare so you don't have to get into those lanes and get into that environment. And number two with that is it's a whole lot cheaper to get things when nobody else wants them. When if something goes wrong and there is a breakdown for whatever reason, the prices of things are going to skyrocket. And if you aren't able to acquire those things now, where they're relatively cheap now, then you won't be able to get them, afford them in the future. Hey, we got a caller. I want to go to this caller real quick. Welcome, caller, to Tando Radio Show. What's your name? Where you're calling from? What's your question or comment? Hello?
Hey, Dave. It's Erica of the Davis team. How are you?
Hey, Sister Davis. What's going on?
Well, you know, this is my favorite topic, right?
Oh, man, this is the topic that we really have to focus on, Sister Davis, because,
right,
as you know, the things that are going on, and it's time to get our people prepared for things. And yes, I know this is you and Brother Davis's topic. Go ahead, Sister.
Yeah. Well, I was just writing down a couple of things while you were talking. One things I wrote down was trash cans, because with this time of year, you might be able to get some of the metal, like the old school metal trash cans.
Mm-hmm.
They're a little hard to find because everybody uses the plastic ones now. But the old metal with the tops, they're good because animals and especially mice and rats, well, rats can sometimes eat through the metal, but it has deterred them a little bit more. But those plastic containers, like tubs, mice can eat right through that plastic when you store all your food in there, especially
yeah,
rices and things. So this might be a good time of year to kind of, because trash cans are usually more popular in the spring, so you might find some clearance or reduced prices here in the fall. Get a couple of those, and then, of course, you still might need to use another tin can to put some of your rices and things in. But this is a good time to look for trash cans. And that's something nobody's really looking at, you know, paying attention to.
Right.
But storage is, you know, you can buy all the food in the world, but if a mouse or some animal gets into it, it's gone, you know. Or you'll be sharing your food with the mouse, because I don't know if a mouse eats half the rice, you might eat the other half. I don't know, because, you know, once the situation ball drops, who knows what you're going to have to do.
Yeah,
but
that's so true.
Something to think about, you know. Sometimes you might go to a yard sale, people moving out of town. Sometimes they sell their trash cans. And,
yep,
of course, it might look a little beat up or dirty. Well, you take it home and clean it and put some bleach or something in it to sterilize a little bit. You know, put plastic in. I mean, you can redo, you know, got to recycle some things. Don't have to be a brand new, shiny trash can. You can get an older trash can. But I did write that down. Also, tents this time of year are kind of on clearance.
Yeah. Oh, wait. Sister Davis. Hey, Sister Davis, you know, because I want to go back to the first point that you made, because I'm glad you made it. And when Sister Davis said this, the storing of the food is so, so important. That is so true. And one of the things that you want to look at is to getting the Mylar bags, because Mylar bags are extremely cheap. And the animals have a difficult time being able to smell through that. And that's and Sister Davis is absolutely right. The plastic containers, the storing of your food is just as important as you having it. And I'm glad that she put that on the table because it's something that a lot of people don't consider. And the last thing that we want is for you to come to find out. And you should always survey and check on your food. Come to find out that your food has been compromised because it wasn't properly stored. Oh, it's happened to me, and it's happened to all of us. All it takes is just once, and of course, it happens to sometimes the most expensive things, and it happened with me with my wild rice, and if anyone knows how much wild rice cost, it was compromised. Some bugs got into it because I forgot that I purchased it, and I forgot to put it in the Mylar bag and to store it properly, and so true. But I'm glad you brought that up, Sister Davis. But go ahead, Sister Davis, you were talking about tents.
Tents, yes. Sometimes this time of year you might be able to get tents on sale because tents are usually a spring and a summer item. Then they might have them at Walmart or, you know, Lowe's, Home Depot, sometimes Target, some of those places that have them on clearance this time of year because they're trying to get rid of them and trying to get Christmas items in there. So, you know, tents, this is a good time to buy tents. Also, you can look on Amazon and kind of compare prices and, you know, and with Walmart, if you can get a, if you go to Amazon and get a price and kind of take a picture of it with your phone and you take that to Walmart, sometimes they'll beat that price. So that might be something you might want to do with tents and get kind of any size, whatever they have, you know, a small pop top or a large one, whatever they have, try to get it. And like I said, this time of year, a lot of them are on clearance. And I also wanted to go over food dehydrators because that's a necessity because for me, I'm always thinking because, like you said, you don't want to pull out your barbecue grill and start grilling food and have the whole neighborhood and all the animals come looking for you.
Right.
So dehydrated food is stuff that you can just easily suck on. You can easily reconstitute it back with water. And now, Rich and I, we're not meat eaters, but, well, sometimes I eat chicken, but my husband doesn't eat any meat. But right now, you know, if you get a very good dehydrator, you can get chicken or beef, good quality beef on sale, slice it and dehydrate it and make your own jerky for people who just have to have meat, which for me, that's one of the reasons why I eat chicken is because my body needs that kind of protein. But I don't eat a lot of it. But that's something that you might want to think of for people that really eat a lot of meat. You can, while nothing's going on now, go ahead and start making your own jerky, which does take a couple of weeks to do. But there's a lot of videos on YouTube, and there's different dehydrators you can buy just for jerky. And like I said, you get some meat on sale. Slice that stuff up. You can do the chili sauce or whatever, you know, watch your salt intake. You know, YouTube does have different recipes on low salt seasoning for the jerkies and things like that. Because I know it's at the truck stops that we go to all the time, beef jerky's a big thing. And those bags are like $25. If you get a big bag of beef jerky, which really is only about 4 or 5 pounds, It's $20 to $25. So for people who eat meat, you can start now dehydrating that, and then you can also dehydrate fruits and vegetables and reconstitute that when you need it. Or like I said, you can just suck on it as you know, because you don't want to cook if disaster really happens. Those first couple of weeks, you just cannot be cooking on stove and barbecue grill.
Right. And, you know, Sister Dave, and one of the things that I really, what I like about, is that you really have to pay attention to take advantage of the seasons, and when you're, you know, when you're, preparing, because you want to buy the things at the lowest price points that you possibly can get. You know, like right now, you know, we're get ready to go into winter and everything else. When you get in the winter, that's when you should be buying all of your summer stuff. When you're in the summer, that's when you should be buying all of your winter stuff. And this is what Sister Dave is talking. Take advantage of the seasons in preparing. So actually right now, you should, once it starts to move, you start to see the summer stuff to go on sale because they need to make room for the fall and the winter stuff. That's when you want to, if you can, to buy that then and repeat that same cycle so that you're buying at price points that are going to offer you more good.
Right. Now, especially like with chicken, you could get the boneless, skinless chicken breast. Sometimes you watch the paper, you could get that real cheap. You can slice that down very, very thin and dehydrate that. And, I mean, for meat eaters, that would be a win-win when, you know, you could store that in a bag and then put it in a can. And there you have food on the go as you're hiking or moving about. Or, like I said, you can always reconstitute that and put it back into a broth or a soup. So that's just, you know, like I said, food for thought. But something to look into. And dehydrators are really not that expensive. You can go to some of the stores, Bass Pro, those kind of places. You might see something on sale, go on to Amazon or eBay. They would have them on sale. So I wrote that down. Also, in the summertime, we had, when we went camping, we bought this lantern, and I think I put it on RDP back in the summer, but we bought a solar lantern that was, I think, about $29 to $30 or so, that was so bright. I mean, it had three levels, and it was super bright. And when we got it, it was already charged in the box. But then it only takes about 4 or 5 hours to charge. But it did have a phone USB
connection. Yes.
Connection, and we charged the cell phone with it. And I said, "Oh, let me see if this works, because it looked really neat on the side." But I said, "I don't know if it can really charge a phone." And it did take a little bit of time, but it did charge the phone. And in that, now once a disaster strikes, now you might not need a phone to call somebody, but I would. You know, there's a lot of stuff that we have to remember with first aid and making fires and all of this. What I would do is take one of those old phones that you might have at home, it's sitting in a drawer, and record some YouTube videos on prepping or first aid. And if you have that stored on one of those old phones and you use your USB solar, you can watch something that you might can't remember the whole way of making a fire with twigs or, you know, a first aid kit to, you know, how to set a leg or something. You know, because it's a lot of stuff to remember. It's a lot of stuff to remember. So that, and it also could be entertainment a little bit. You know, do a couple movies or a little, you know, I'm not saying you're going to be sitting in a disaster watching, you know, your favorite show, that there's things that you have to have recorded, and with this little device that uses solar power to recharge a phone, I mean, it might be something that you need that could save your life if it's something you can't remember. Because I was pretty impressed by how fast it charged the phone. And like I said, we're not going to be really calling anyone because, of course, the network would be down. You could always use that device as recording. So that's just something else.
And it's a lot of things you can use. You know, I know the solar, yeah, I have solar lights, and I prefer those over, you know, pretty much everything else because of how efficient they are. And it's, you know, so yes, I have some of those same solar lanterns, and they are great. They are great. And so. But yes, it's Dave. Then there was another, one more thing. There was something that you and Brother Davis pointed out. You talked about the camping. There was some new sleeping bags, and I love those sleeping bags, that I think it was either you or Rich had posted inside of RDT.
You had to get a bunch, you couldn't make it on the own. I was asking about,
Hold on, you gotta get ready to go to a commercial break. When we come back, we're gonna hit that, and then, yeah, you listen to the Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
It's like a jungle sometimes, it makes me wonder how I keep from going under. My brother's doing fast on my mother's TV. Says she watches too much, it's just not healthy. All my children in the daytime, Dallas at night. Can't even see the game or the Sugar Ray fight. The bill collectors.
You are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For live programming schedules, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
Still there, Brother Day?
Oh, yeah, I'm here. Sorry about that. Okay, welcome back, everyone, to the Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. You know, sorry about that, Scotty. Sometimes my daggone cell phone goes off, and I got distracted for a minute. So, hey, we're with Sister Davis. Sister Davis,
yes.
We were talking about the sleeping bag just before we went to the commercial break. That I don't... I think it was, I'm not sure if it was you or Brother Davis that posted it in RDP, but those sleeping bags are, I love those sleeping bags because they are really, really efficient, and they're really easy to put together. And, you know, you know which ones I'm talking about?
Well, I just asked him, and he said they're sleeping bags that are temperature contention.
Yes.
Meaning that they're not real heavy and bulky,
right,
but they use your own body temperature to kind of, what does it do, babe?
Once you zip it up,
it sustains the temperature of your body. And it uses your body, it absorbs the heat and then kind of forces it back on you. And they're very, very lightweight. And we found a couple of really nice Coleman sleeping bags at flea markets during the summer. You know, and I look at them and I see the big Coleman sticker on it and I say, oh, how much is this? And she say $7. I say, well, about $5. And we go home and high five each other because, you know, Coleman's sleeping bag is worth more.
Yep.
It's worth more than $5, but to them, it's just something they're getting rid of, you know. So we bought quite a few because you can always, I don't know, we might have 6 or 7 of them now because you can barter with them. You can, mm-hmm. you know, we have some in case you got kids with you. We have different sizes. Whenever we see a sleeping bag, especially if it's Coleman or Kayak or, you know, a name brand, we'll buy it. Even if it's a little expensive, it's still going to be a little cheaper that if you buy it brand new. You take it home, wash it, and it's yours. So sleeping bags. And then, like you said, the temperature contention ones are very lightweight. They kind of remind you of like a parachute kind of material. They're very thin and lightweight. And they're excellent. And it goes down to minus temperatures. Usually right on the tag, it'll tell you how far down in temperature or minus temperature that it goes, which is beneficial. So you'll know if you're, you know, in a really cold environment, you know, the minus temperature ones the ones you want to use. I think he said he has one or two of them that are minus 50. And
yeah,
then I was also looking at, I wrote down on my little list, clothing. You know, right now, as you downsize, sometimes you think, well, do I want to get rid of this clothing or whatever? But if it's something that's not going to be worn, like a three-piece, you know, suit or something, you know, downsize a little bit, take that money and buy something else, you know what I mean? But things that are sweatsuits or nylon, the leggings, with the long johns, I know we always buy, and Kmart always has them on sale right about hunting season. So that is started around the end of October, beginning of November.
Mm-hmm.
And we have bought, they're called Artex. And they are excellent. And we always buy them at Kmart, and we always lay them away. you know, because you don't need them right then.
Right.
But because, you know, my husband's always been a truck driver, he always kind of bought long johns. But they're excellent. And now they even have a couple of more that go into colder temperatures. They are very stylish. It doesn't look like the old man kind of long johns. That's kind of outdated. But I know Kmart always has them on sale right around hunting season. And they have a women's style. What I like about the men and the women, the back is real long so that your body, like in the back, isn't exposed.
Right.
And you can get them for men, women, and children. And you know, me, I, you know, because I like to conserve money, you know, I lay things away. If I don't have the money for it right then, I'll lay it away and wait for a paycheck and then go back and get
yep.
it. So
that's the way to do it. That's the way to do it.
You know, but I do know Kmart always has these Artex, have them on sale. Other stores have them also, but Kmart, they always have them on sale. And it's usually a pretty good sale, almost 50% off or so. And we purchase those because, you know, we wear them. Because, you know, we're from Pennsylvania, so we wear them, you know.
Right.
And
right.
that's what you have to do. You have to wear layers of clothing. Layers of clothing.
And you can't forget about the children. And that's the
right.
key is that they're going to need, you know, to be protected, too, in that. And it's so, you know, Sister Davis, and I love those sleeping bags because they're light, and let me tell you, you want to have light in more efficient things, because a lot of people think that going out into, you know, bugging out into the wilderness is a cool thing to do. If you haven't done it, and it's not where you need to do it out of necessity and not out of recreation, oh, it changes quickly for you, and everything becomes a factor. And it's so, yeah, that is, you know, I'm actually going to be looking to get some of those bags, because I know that they work, because it works on the convection of your body heat, and to recirculate it, and how, you know, it's light, and that's what you really want. Something to keep you warm, and, you know, it's light. And even, you know, sleeping bags is something that you should have, even if you're at home, because what if in the middle of the winter you have some severe storm, the power lines get frozen, a tree goes down, hits and the power goes out, and the power is out for a long time, or you have a, you know, whatever, you know, really, really bad hurricane, and the power goes out, and then all of a sudden it's really cold. You know, you want to have, sleeping bags are great not only just for going outside, but they're also good for, you know, the cold weather climate areas, that when the power goes out, you want to be able to create and to maintain some heat source for yourself and your family. And I'm going to tell you, sleeping bags is something that you want to look at, and there's other ways to also generate heat, and we'll talk about those.
Right, and I'm glad you mentioned about the heat just going out, because I know, remember Boston last year had, yep, you know, that heating issues, you know, it can go from one extreme to the other very, very quickly. You know, right now South Carolina, you know, have their crisis, and they have to have bottled water, because I think right now they're still talking about an indefinite time of boiling water, and people, yep, just think, oh, that's okay, I'll just boil my water. But when you boil your water, whatever minerals that you don't want, you boil them down, and they're concentrated. A lot of people don't really realize that, because even the fresh water that you normally were drinking, when you boil that down, it concentrates whatever's in it, whatever minerals and things. And it doesn't have to be a negative-type mineral, but it's still concentrated when you boil the water. And right now they're talking about an indefinite amount of time, and they're also saying that the shelves are depleted with water. Yep. You know, that's what everybody's running to get. And even some of our family, because, you know, we used to live there, some of our family that's still there, we were always talking to them about prepping, and, you know, most days they weren't really paying us attention, and now they're calling us, asking us little things they need to do. And, you know, we try to encourage them, you know, but we also bought these life straws. I haven't tried them yet because we haven't gotten home. I sent some, mm-hmm, to the house. Very and familiar. I got the life straws with the sale. That was $10. And they're normally about $25, but I was on this one radio channel, and they were saying you could buy them on sale. So we bought five of them, and we might just send one or two of them south in the mail to our family down there. I'm kind of anxious to see what they look like and try them. You know, these life straws.
Yeah,
and,
they work.
They work. I was thinking that they, it sounds like they were, you know, I think somebody said, yeah, you can drink toilet water, but who has tried the toilet water? So I don't know if anybody's done toilet water yet. But really, toilet water is sometimes not as bad as you think.
Yep.
If it's fresh toilet water, you know, and that's still a source of water.
If it's a clean toilet, right.
If it's a clean toilet, you know, I mean, really, it's not the worst case scenario as people think.
Right.
You
want
to
use the reservoir before using the commode water. You want to use the
water. Right,
reservoir.
You want the reservoir. Yeah, the reservoir that's in the back, yeah. And it might have a little bit of rust to it, because a lot of times it's rusty in there. But that's still a source of water. And so that was on my list. What else did I have on my list? I also had...
But, you know, why you do that, sister, you know, one of the things I want to... You know, this is a clear example of, you know, like, Sister Davis, with water... And we're going to talk about that also. When you look at some of the things that are happening throughout the country, this is what happens when people aren't prepared for things. Once something happens, it becomes too late for you to respond appropriately outside of asking for charity. It really, this is why preparing is so important, because it's one of the things that aren't necessary until you need it. you know, until you need it. And right now, South Carolina, and the bad thing about this storm, I don't know if you guys heard, that it's now starting to turn back around, and it's coming back.
Yeah, I was hearing something about that it's coming back again for whatever reason. I did hear a little blurb about that on the news, and I know a lot of their levees and bridges, and it's going to get probably worse before it gets better in that area. And they're talking like it might be an indefinite amount of time for the water source because their reservoir was breached or something, and the water flowed out or got contaminated.
We're going to talk about water solely on one whole show because it's just really, really, really important. We're going to talk about food on one whole show and water because it's just too important. And until you don't have it, you won't realize what you've been taking what you've been taking for granted. And it is not a, let me tell you, heat stroke or dehydration is not a pretty way to go. It is very traumatic because you basically have the major organs when you get dehydrated, and if you go that route, you have the major organs just start to fail, and you have just bleeding out everywhere. And you would think, what does that got to do with water? Because your major organs have collapsed and they just start to bleed.
And right. They also say that when you are thirsty, you are in a state, the first level of dehydration. You don't have to be like fell out on the ground and can't breathe and say, oh, I'm dehydrated. No, if you're just thirsty, you see a glass of water, say, oh, let me take this water down, I'm thirsty. You're already in a state of dehydration at that point.
You absolutely
and,
are.
And the first symptom that you get for dehydration, a lot of times, the first symptom, is a really bad headache. Yep. And a lot of people will take a Tylenol thinking, I have a headache. So you put the Tylenol pill in your hand and a glass of water. Then you take that pill and you drink that water. And that water, a lot of times, will soothe that headache before the pill is actually broken down in your stomach to go through your system. Because you'll say, 10 to 15 minutes later, you'll say, oh, wow.
I think we lost Sister Davis. She is absolutely right. It's, you know, dehydration, that's one of the first signs of it. And, you know, you're made up of water. You need to have water in your system. It's so, so important. So,
her line's still
Davis,
open.
But
I think her line's still open. I don't know what happened there.
Yeah, I think it went out. Oh, there you are, Sister Davis.
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, yeah, you're calling out. You were talking about the first stages of, you know,
the headache.
Yeah.
So a lot of times people think the Tylenol, the aspirin, took care of your headache, but actually it was the water that you drank actually cured your headache before the pill even dissolved in your stomach.
Right.
So a lot of times, can you hear me?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I did.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's how beneficial a glass of water a lot of times is. You know, that's what's soothing your headache. Because usually the first thing that really happens is a severe headache, and people think it's something else going on, and that's actually dehydration.
That's exactly, and it's, you know, and it's so important to properly hydrate. Yeah, like I said, we're going to talk about that. But you know, we are already dealing with areas in this country that the people needed to be prepared for the event before it happened in South Carolina and the other places that have been affected and from that. And we've seen from the major natural disasters, from the hurricanes, how long it takes. And I'm telling you, this is why preparing is so, so important. It's you know, it's always conspiracy theory until you need it. And then once something happens, now you have a total... you have a total necessity for it, and everything changes. Now you don't have what you don't need. Now you don't have what you need, and now you place yourself and your family in a very, very dangerous position. Because I'm gonna tell you, when water is bad, now that whole state of South Carolina is gonna have to do what? Depend on the government to bring them water. And if you don't know how to purify water outside of a filter, if you don't know how to make your own filter, which we will talk about here, which you can do, and you have the capabilities of doing it, it's, I tell you, you're not prepared for it, and it's going to have the same outcome. It's not hard at all to do these things and to make a gravity-fed water filter, and we're going to definitely talk about that within the water portion of the show. So,
And yep, one of the problems that South Carolina is having is that there's so many roads. Almost, South Carolina is almost like an island right now because mm-hmm. so many roads and bridges are down. Now, the water has subsided a bit, but there's damage, I mean, major damage on the roads. So a lot of tractor trailers can't get in there
right.
to really supply them. And another thing people need to think about when, just whenever you feel like you need to, keep your gas tank pretty full, because one of the things in South Carolina is when electricity went out, the gas pumps aren't going to work. So if you're down to a quarter of a tank and you got to travel a long way to get away from something, and the electricity doesn't work and you have no fuel, you're sitting. So always kind of keep your gas tank as full as you possibly can, because that's going to be your first mode of transportation usually. And if you don't have any fuel, you're just sitting in the car.
Exactly. Spoken like a true, understanding the importance of getting, you know, transportation moving. And without gas, it's not going to move. And it's so important, especially when you hear about, you know, a lot of times people won't even prepare when they even hear about things coming, and they do nothing about it. There are steps that you should be taking before you hear about a hurricane coming or a major winter storm coming. You know, there are things that you should be doing and preparing for. But see, I like to always prepare for the unexpected so that you at least have a foundation of preparing already needs. You know, one buddy asked me, what am I preparing for? And it's not one thing that I'm preparing for. I'm preparing for anything. And it all starts with the basics. So,
well, I know old school for us when we were young, when the weather got bad and there's storms and stuff were coming, my mom always told me to go fill up the bathtub. She always said, and
that.
Who's taking a bath? You know what I mean? But she'd say, go fill up the bathtub. And then sometimes she would say, fill up a couple of pots. Now, if you don't need it, you drain the tub or take a bath. But we always were taught, because see, back then we didn't have bottled water. If you didn't have a canteen or a mason jar, a low or a pot, there was no, we had no bottled water back then. And I ain't that old, but, you know,
we didn't have
bottled water. So the first, as soon as the weather was getting bad, one of the things they always did back then was stay off the phone and electrical storm. They say, don't be yakking on the phone. And she always said, fill up the bathtub. You know, and some people had more than one bathroom, so you fill up the bathtub. And even if you, you know, because if the water gets contaminated, you can drink bathtub water, and then the other water you can use for cleaning or, you know, bathing or whatever. Because a lot of people forget about the water that you use that's not drinking, because you still have to bathe, you still have to wipe things down, you still have to,
rinse off
secondary
yeah.
water, secondary
yep, yep, yep.
water.
Secondary water.
And then you don't want to use your primary water for secondary water, like to flush a toilet, you know, because if the lights go out, you can still flush the toilet if you fill up the pressure of the water, because sometimes
yep.
you might have to. So, but you don't want to use your fresh bottled water to flush the toilet. You want to use a secondary source of water to flush the toilet. So.
And, you know, one of the things that we, with the bottled water, we have to realize that bottled water does not mean that it is, you know, what you need to do, you need to mineralize bottled water, you know, because it's been purified. So you that's where your magnesium and different things that you want to do, that you want to remineralize that water so it's not just dead water, you know, and that's, you know, one thing that, you know, you really need to look at, because hydration is everything. Because when you're not properly hydrated, your brain starts to go down, your ability to reason, to think is in your sight, everything starts to be diminished. So it's so important. But hey, you know what, Sister Davis, we're at the end of the show. Well, we're going to continue this preparedness for beginners, because we're going to get into to the food, we're going to get into the water, we're going to get into the shelter. And you know, people always forget about shelter. Shelter is so, so important. You need to have shelter not only for your food, you need to have it for your water. You need to have it for to shelter your energy and to shelter your protection. You need to shelter yourself. It's so, you know, we're going to get into all of these, and then when we come back tomorrow, we won't be on the air. If I'm back in town, we're got a lot of things going on here. We will be back Monday, and I will let you all know, and we will continue this series until it's done because it's so important. We will we'll talk about food on Monday, and then on Wednesday we'll talk about water. We'll do this until we get this done, and we'll rehash and hammer it because it's so, so important. We are in times in which you need to be prepared for because you don't know what the future brings. And so since you don't know what it's going to bring, you need to prepare for the unexpected. And there's no need for you to be afraid, or there is no excuse for you not to participate in it because it's for you. It's, you're going to benefit from it. So, Sister Davis, give my regards to Brother Davis. Thank you so much for calling in, as always, and let's stay in contact. Okay, everyone, just want to say thank you all for listening today. And remember to always be a blessing before you ask for a blessing. And it's never goodbye. As always, I'll see you later. Until God willing, we'll talk to you soon. Much love and much respect.
Peace.
Girl, you are rich, even with nothing. And you know tenderness comes.